Are you cyber confident? Do you know what your digital footprint is? Do you understand the reasons you're a cyber target? In this podcast series, you'll learn what it means to be cyber confident both at work and at home. Because when it comes to cybersecurity, the front line is you. I'm Josella Waldron, and in this episode, you'll hear from Enoch Ajapong, a solutions architect at Airbus. Enoch has more than 15 years' experience in cybersecurity. First of all, I asked him to tell me why passwords are so important.
So I think password can help you and your organization to keep secure. You know, it also helps you to protect your personal data. And truthfully, there's now a number of studies that actually point out that, you know, having a obscure and complicated password and actually changing those passwords frequently can help, you know, keep you secure. It can actually make a difference between getting your data stolen and actually, you know, staying safe online.
Why is the use of passwords still popular despite the increasing use of new authentication techniques such as biometrics?
So password can be easily implemented in comparison to other, you know, authentication methods such as biometrics. You know, they are very, very cheap to actually implement them. You don't need any additional hardware, like things like tokens, the ones that your bank will give to you to use when you have to log on to your bank systems. So most small businesses prefer to use password. And, you know, as people as well, you know, we can easily use password. We don't have to carry anything around to protect our, you know, mobile phones, or you can easily log on with a simple password as opposed to having to have other tokens or biometrics and stuff which can be expensive to actually implement. So that is one of the reasons why people still prefer to use password rather than, you know, going to other methods.
How are passwords stored?
So passwords are stored on the system's operating system. You know, it's stored normally in some form of a hashing algorithm. So for example, if your password is, let's say, password 123 or whatever, which is not a good password by the way anyway, you wouldn't see the same password. The system will convert it into some form of algorithm that is not human, you know, you cannot easily understand it. That's how passwords are stored.
So what is a password attack?
So password attack is, in essence, a third party trying to have access to your password, unauthorized access to your password in a manner that is malicious. You know, they don't have access to it. There shouldn't be a need for them to have access to that, but they want to try and get access to it.
And how are passwords discovered or hacked?
So there are various techniques that can be used to hack a person's password. You know, you have low-level techniques and also advanced and sophisticated techniques. And on the low-level ones, you have things like brute force attack, where someone will actually try and get access to your system and try multiple combinations of password in the hope that one of them will work and they'll be able to access your systems. You know, there are also things like dictionary attack, where someone will have a program, you know, there's a program, they can load a range of password, multiple combinations of password, try them all in the hope that one of them will work and they'll be able to access your system. But most of these attacks these days is very easy to detect because your system will lock them out after a couple of attempts to try and get them. So people are resorting to much more advanced or sophisticated techniques. So things like using phishing emails, for example, you know, with recent COVID as an example, somebody can send you an email, request you to register, put in your password, and then that password get onto their system. They can then use that password to try other things like Amazon, eBay, to try and see if that password that you've used can also be used elsewhere. There is also, people can use things like other malwares or keyloggers installed on your computer. Once you enter your password, they can then capture the password that you've just put in, and that will be transmitted to the attacker. So there are different ways by which people will be able to get your password, from very low level techniques to much more advanced techniques. But the good news is there is always ways by which you can, you know, protect yourself. If you take the right measures, you'll be able to protect yourself against some of these attacks.
So how can I prevent a password attack? In other words, how do you strengthen your password or store your password?
So I think that there's a number of things that you can do. First of all, I'll come to the question of how do you, strengthen your password. So there are a number of things that you can do to strengthen your password, and things like not using, your real names as password or your company's name. You know, some people use their date of birth. Again, things like that are not very good because people can easily guess them. You know, you don't use complete words or well-known password, or your favorite football teams and stuff. People can easily associate that with you, and they can easily try and get access to your systems. Again, you don't use short password because things that are less than 8 character password it can easily be cracked by an attacker. So you can also have sentences as password. So for example, you can have things like "I went to the airport yesterday" as a password. It sounds long, but it's very simple and easy to remember. And if you want to be clever about it, you can use the same word, but give it a bit of space in the middle, or have underscore within the sentence. Or sometimes you can even misspell one of the words within that sentence. Because the reality is, the longer your password, the more difficult it is for an attacker to crack your password. That is why it's very important for people to start using passphrases rather than password. And on the question of how to store your password, I think unless you are very, very smart, or someone who can, genius, who can remember a lot of complex password for multiple sites that, we all use these days, things like your Amazon, your LinkedIn, unless you can remember a complex password for every single site, the best bet is to use a password manager. And a password manager, with a password manager, you can have as many complicated passwords as you want, but all you have to do is to remember one simple, long password, and the password manager will do everything for you. So in essence, every website that you want to access, the password manager can create a sophisticated password for you, store it in there. All you have to do is just remember one simple password and you can log in.
What should people do if their passwords are compromised?
So I think first thing that you have to do is to immediately reset that password. I think that is very, very important, to reset your password if it is compromised. And again, not using the old password that was recompromised, because that's one of the things that some people do, especially when they want to keep things easy or simple in a way that they can remember. And that's a dangerous approach. You know, you have to use passwords that are difficult to guess, but easy for you to remember if you reset your password. And another thing that you have to do if your password is compromised. So most of these browsers that we use, Google Chrome, Internet Explorer, typically in trying to be helpful or support users, gives us options to be able to for the system to store our password for us locally by ticking that box. I don't know if you've always seen it, which says, do you want Chrome or Windows to remember your password? Tick this box. By ticking those boxes, it does remember. But if your password is compromised, it is probably a good idea to go and reset all those passwords, and also perhaps don't even tick those boxes, just to help you stay secure. Another thing that you can also do, if your password is compromised, is to try and run if you've got antivirus on your machine, try and run it and see whether any suspicious software has been installed, which can be picked up by the antivirus solution. So that will actually help you to get rid of any artifact that is left behind if you've got an AV on your system.
So how long does it take to crack a password?
I think it depends. The simple answer is it depends. If you have a long and a complicated password, chances are it's going to take an attacker a very long time to be able to crack your password. If you've got a 7-character password and it's all in lowercase, within seconds, someone can crack it, within seconds. And basically, it's as simple as that. If you've got 8-character password, with computing power these days, GPUs and the rest, it doesn't take long at all for even somebody to crack 8-character password. But as soon as you start going to 9 characters, adding uppercase, adding additional, not just having alphanumeric characters, letters, numbers, special symbols, it starts becoming very complicated for someone to easily crack your password. And like I said, you know, there are various techniques that attacker can use to crack a password within seconds. But the best bet is to use long password that is complicated, that is more than 8 characters, 9 characters, 10 characters, you are good. It will take a long time before someone crack it. And actually those that use 14 characters or even 20 characters password, it's pretty much, you know, not the computing powers that we've got these days, very difficult. You know, you cannot do it. You cannot crack them.
What's the impact of password compromise? Can you give me some figures about that?
So I think there have been a number of studies to look at the actual impact of password, when people's password or organizations' password get compromised. And I think from one of the studies, I mean, that have come up, I think VeriSign did a survey on this. And it's been actually been said that I think about 80% of all hacking related breaches are normally due to weak password or password compromises, which is quite scary. You know, it shows you the gravity of it. And I think from organizational perspective, I mean, we've all heard it on the news, you know, things like reputational damage, impact on productivity. And again, if your organization and your password get compromised and it's in the wild, some people will just, you know, move away from you. If they are trading with you as a business and they have options, they'll probably move away from you, and that could have a financial loss or, you know, impact on your organization. And at an individual level as well, password compromise could lead to things like identity theft, you know, which can cause a lot of distress for many people if your identity is stolen. So those are some of the key potential impact of password compromises.
Is password cracking illegal?
Wow, that's an interesting one. So it depends. I think it depends. If you're doing anything that is illegal or you've not been authorized to do, you know, if you don't have permission of someone to access their system, then clearly it's illegal. But you have to remember that a number of organizations do actually employ people, you know, security practitioners to try and see the strength of their organization's password, and those will be coming in as maybe security experts to test the vulnerabilities of an organization and thereby see whether their password are secure, and they'll do that by trying to crack them using a number of tools. So it's kind of, you know, the answer is it depends. If you have the permission to do it, or if you have your own laptop or computer or whatever, and it's a hobby that you want to do it for your own system, or you have permission to do it, then it's perfectly fine. You can, by all means, you can. And most of these softwares, again, they are all legal, legitimate softwares that you can use. You can use them to practice. But I think the boundary is when you start going onto systems that are not, you don't have the right to be there, or doesn't belong to you. That is where it starts getting, you know, onto the dangerous territory, I should put it.
Can you give me some key takeaway messages about all of this?
So truthfully, I think the key thing to all this when it comes to password is to use a long password. You know, don't reuse old passwords. Don't reuse old passwords. A combination of 3 to 4 random words where possible is always the best approach to take. And again, don't share password with someone else. I mean, it's personal. It's something that you have to have it. You know, you shouldn't share password with other people, or don't use work email and work password on your private website. You know, you shouldn't use work organization, because if those passwords get compromised and the hashes are stolen, then all of a sudden, a very good password that is being used by a company is now in the hands of criminal. The other things as well that, you know, one of the key takeaways as well would be to try and periodically, you know, change your password to try and stay ahead of an attacker, because keeping the same password for a very long period of time, there's always that risk that someone could either show themselves, or you might use it on the wrong system and your password will be compromised. And more importantly as well, for organizations as well, one of the things that they could do to improve the situation would be to have a multi-factor authentication. So rather than a simple password onto a system, businesses can improve things by, you know, letting their staff have additional form of authentication. So logging onto a system, you'll be required to maybe, like, you know, we see with the banks, maybe enter this key code or additional information is required before you log onto the system. And those are the key things that you can do to secure your asset and data.
That was Enoch Ajapong, a cybersecurity expert at Airbus. Look out for more episodes in this series. You can find them on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find out more by emailing the team at cyberconfident@mod.gov.uk.